everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag?
From the first chapter of Proverbs, we hear, "Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill." Gracious God, it has been a week to accomplish many things, people to listen to, and items to discern, and for that we are grateful. Now we finish up a few things and head home to loved ones, to our time with them. Be with us during our travel and bring us safely home. Help us to be open to your teachings and rejoice in your presence with those we love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from the 11th. A quorum is present. The Senate is now in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 16th day, Wednesday, February 5th, 2014. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Kinder in the chair. Reverend Carl Gauck offered the following prayer. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, I move further reading the journal be dispensed with the same be approved as the one we've really read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Senator from the first.
Mr. President, I'm delighted to announce my dear friend and college classmate, Amy Stovall, visiting in town from Colorado Springs, Colorado. If the body could please make her
Let's
feel welcome.
Welcome the guest of the senator from the first to the Missouri Senate. The senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. It gives me great pleasure this morning to introduce a fine group of young men who are representing 15 states plus the state of Missouri this morning. They are the 10th annual Mr. Historical Black College and University King's Leadership Conference and competition hosted by Lincoln University right here in Jefferson City this weekend. These men have come from across the nation to enhance their leadership skills, showcase their talent, and grow professionally in order to better serve as role models and spokesmen at their respective universities. They are here today to see the Missouri Senate in action, and I ask that they be made welcome today.
Let's welcome these special guests of the Senator from Cole to the Missouri Senate. We're delighted to have these fine-looking young people.
President.
Senator.
I would also seek unanimous consent to allow one photograph by a photographer of these young men from the gallery.
Does any senator object? Hearing none, proceed with your photo.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Introductions. Senator from the 10th.
Mr. President, on my right and your left, I am very pleased to introduce a young man who is the son of our chief legal counsel of the Democratic Caucus. We've got Thomas Shappy in the House today, also a constituent of the senator from Boone. If you could please make him welcome.
Let's welcome this guest of the senator from the 10th to the Missouri Senate. And the senator from Boone has special introduction.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my right, I've got my three kids here today. I know there's a lot of kids in the Capitol. This is the fourth day in a row that Columbia Public Schools have been out, and I think a lot of spouses told their better halves, you're taking the kids today. And so I am certainly one of those better halves. With us today are my 15-year-old son, Max, my 8-year-old daughter, Lena, and my 12-year-old son, Wolf.
Let's welcome these fine young people to the Missouri Senate. Looks like you may have a basketball player or two there, Senator. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. The senator from the 13th.
Mr. President, I have three bills.
Send your bills forward.
No explanation necessary.
Read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 832, introduced by Senator Walsh, an act relating to a health care directives registry.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 833, introduced by Senator Walsh, an act relating to homeowners insurance.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill number 834, introduced by Senator Walsh, an act relating to bidding for public works projects.
Bills. Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, I have two bills.
Send your bills forward.
No explanation needed, Mr. President.
I noticed that there was a flash photographer taking up here. I don't know if that was the photograph that was authorized by the senator from Cole or not. It was. Affirmative. So that was not a violation of Senate rules that prohibit flash photography without permission. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 835, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to compensation for county sheriffs.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 836, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to authorizing the governor to convey property owned by the state.
Senator from the first.
Yes, Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 837, introduced by Senator Sifton, an act relating to self-service storage facilities.
Senator.
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Senator from Barton.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send your bill forward.
Thank you.
Read the bill. Thank you, Senator.
Senate Bill number 838, introduced by Senator Emery, an act relating to scholarships for eligible students to attend certain non-public schools.
Senator.
My explanation is, sir, Mr. President.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Barry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward.
No, you weren't.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 839, introduced by Senator Sater, an act relating to the eminent domain power of utilities.
No explanation, Senator.
Senator. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward.
We can get photo, too.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 840, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to the use of electronic wireless communication devices while operating a motor vehicle.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's a bill about the use of electronic wireless communication devices while operating
Thank
a motor
you, Senator.
Vehicle. Thank you,
Senator from Christian. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Senate Bill number 841, introduced by Senator Wasson, an act relating to alternative nicotine or vapor products.
No explanation.
Senator from Polk.
I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 842, introduced by Senator Parson, an act relating to diesel fuel inspections.
Senator? No. Introduction of bills. Senator from Boone.
I have a bill.
Send your bill forward, sir.
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Sometimes it's bad fit. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 843, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to public records and meetings.
Senator? Okay, no. Further introduction of bills. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Okay, one moment, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will now go to the order of business of messages from the governor. No, we're not ready for that. Okay, never mind. We'll go to let's go to the order of business of, without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of third reading consent bills that I actually recognize the Senator from Lewis on Senate Bill 506.
Third reading Senate bills consent calendar, Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 506 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill is a bill that we have, and all it really does is say that the Department of Agriculture cannot collect fees for inspections at meat processing facilities and those facilities like that that are more than what the actual costs are. It is a very simple bill, and that's really all it does. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from the 11th.
Yes, I'd like to inquire the senator, handler of the
does
bill.
Does the senator yield for inquiry?
I do.
He yields, you may
Lewis.
Inquire.
Very quickly, when these fees were charged and they were over the amount of the program, what happened to that extra money?
Well, it would go into the fund that they have there. Now, that would be a budgetary issue, and I just don't want it to be a money-making issue. I just want it to be cover the costs, and that's all really it's supposed to do.
I support your bill, and I would add that I think there's other areas of state government that are doing this type of thing, either collecting a fee, a fine, or whatever, almost in a way to grab money with no appropriation or oversight of where that money goes. I'm not saying that this is it, but it sounds like a good control measure.
Well, and you know, Senator, there are other fees that the state has that probably don't cover their costs, so then we have to supplement
True.
That with
True.
DR. So it depends upon how you take each individual thing. But this just says, no, their fees are restricted to their actual cost.
That's fair. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Seeing that, Senator from Lewis, recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 506 be read a third time and finally passed. I move, yeah.
Read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill number 506, an act to repeal section 277.040 RSMO and to enact in lieu thereof one new section relating to agriculture. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
By your vote of 32 aye and 0 no, you have passed Senate Bill 506. I'm getting there. The bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 591, the Senator from Barry.
President, I move that Senate Bill 591 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Barry. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Mr. President, this has to do with what they call a beef checkoff for the cattle industry. Every head of cattle that is sold in the state of Missouri, a dollar goes to this beef checkoff. 50 cents goes to the Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board. It's a national promotion. It's the national part of promotional and research efforts. And 50 cents remains in Missouri for promotional and research efforts on a statewide basis. Currently, under state law, the state checkoff cannot exceed the federal checkoff. And this bill simply repeals this provision. Missouri's beef checkoff is administered by the Missouri Beef Industry Council, which is producer governed. There are 13 elected board members, and they're elected by the producers. This checkoff has not changed. It was instituted in 1988, and a dollar at that time went a lot farther than a dollar does now. And so we are just letting the state beef to be able to increase that fee if they want to and if they're elected. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
The Senator from Barry has moved that Senate Bill number 591 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Bill 591 be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator from Barry renews his motion that Senate Bill number 591 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill number 591, an act relating to beef commodity merchandising program fees. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
By your vote of 32 aye and 0 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senate Bill number 630, the Senator from Cape Girardeau County.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 630 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
Heard the motion from the Senator from Cape. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
And Mr. President, I move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 630 be adopted.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Cape Girardeau County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Substitute has been adopted. Senator from Cape.
Yeah, Mr. President, what the substitute does, it just repeals a reference in the section to something that was actually repealed in 2012, and that's all the substitute does. The underlying bill, we have service members serving their country in harm's way overseas, not with their families not knowing if they'll even be able to come back, and these people are honorably serving their country. And some of these people also want to honorably serve their state. And unfortunately, if they're overseas, they're not able to show up in person to either draw a number to be placed first on the ballot or stand in line, whichever it is. So this allows them to get a proxy to either draw a position for the ballot or to stand in line for them. And this also affects disabled people who are unable to also stand in line or show up to draw the ballot. I think it's the fair thing to do since these people put their lives on the line serving their country and they want to now serve their state. This passed unanimously out of committee, 10-0. There was no dissent against that, and it also has an emergency clause.
Thank you. Senator from Cape Girardeau County moves that Senate Bill number 630 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the first, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, inquire the senator from Cape Girardeau.
Senator from Cape Girardeau, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you for bringing this legislation forward. I know that you worked with the Secretary of State's office to get this done. You mentioned the emergency clause, and I just want to make sure that members of the body understand that the reason we have the emergency clause and we're bringing this as a consent bill this early in session is because the hope is that this can be in effect in time for a candidate filing this year, which opens at the end of this month, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, I do have a constituent in my area that this will affect him because he's currently overseas serving the country now.
Well, and I know you spent many years serving our country, both overseas and here at home. I thank you for your service and glad that we have you. I know there's another member of the body that actually had to come home during shore leave to file the senator from the 8th. He was able to do that, but not everybody can, and I think that if we can make this the law for 2014 for this candidate filing period, hopefully good people like the one you referred to will have the opportunity to put their name before voters. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, do you recognize the close?
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 630 be read a third time and finally passed.
The senator from Cape Girardeau County renews his motion that Senate Bill number 630 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 630, an act relating to the process of establishing candidate names on ballots with an emergency clause. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, aye. Cunningham, aye. Curls, Dempsey, aye. Dixon, aye. Emery, Holzman, aye. Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, aye. Kraus, aye. Lager, aye. Lamping, aye. Lavoda, Libla, Munslinger, aye. Nasheed, aye. Nieves, aye. Parson, aye. Pierce, aye. Richard, aye. Romine, aye. Roop, Sader, aye. Schaff, Schaefer, aye. Schmidt, aye. Sifton, aye. Sylvie, Wallingford, aye. Walsh, aye. Wasson.
Senator from Barton. Senator from Barton votes aye.
32 aye, 0 no.
By your vote of 32 aye and 0 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Senator from Cape Girardeau County.
Emergency clause.
Madam Secretary, call the roll on the emergency clause.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sader, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford,
aye.
Walsh, Wasson.
Senator from the ninth. Votes aye. By your vote of 31 aye and 0 no, the emergency clause has been adopted. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senate Bill number 639, the Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 639, the Senate Committee Substitute, be taken up for third reading and final passage.
I've heard the motion from the Senator from Phelps. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 639 be adopted. And what this bill is all about, and some of you may remember a couple weeks ago, a couple ladies very busily working in the Capitol and carrying these pink notebooks and explaining to you what this legislation would do. And the bill simply states that beginning January 1, 2015, on completion of a mammogram, a mammography facility shall provide information to the patient stating that if the mammogram demonstrates that the patient has dense breast tissue, such tissue could hide abnormalities and the patient might benefit from supplemental screening or testing, and that may be suggested or ordered by her attending physician. The provisions of this act do not create a duty of care beyond the duty to provide the notice required under the act. In other words, what we're asking, we tried to keep this thing very simple and keep it to where it was of educational value and not put a just a duty for the radiologist to inform. And then between the ordering physician and her attending doctor can make a decision as to go with an ultrasound or at sometimes in my wife's instance, her test, even though we all knew there was something there, she has very dense tissue in her breast. After multiple mammographies, conical suppression, ultrasound on two different occasions, the only thing that finally diagnosed it was a biopsy, and at that point it was a stage 3 and a pretty mean one to deal with. So what we're hoping is just to get the information out that dense breast can hide these lesions, and it's extremely important that women be aware of. And what the committee substitute did, it just spelled out that this was just a duty to provide notice, and there's not a penalty involved. And they explained it and did a much better job than I can ever do. Even though it was a personal issue with me, I think they did a very good job, made my job extremely easy. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
The Senator from Phelps has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill number 639. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thanks for taking the inquiry. And I'm trying to understand the substitute change. I was looking for it. You said it made sure that there was no penalty. Is that
right?
Is that what it does?
Yes, the substitute just says that there's a duty to provide notice that you have this dense breast tissue, and that there, you know, and so you take it up with your referring physician, and usually on their order, then women can receive additional testing. In other words, kind of takes it off of the radiologist, other than just the duty to inform.
Okay, was the physician already? Yeah, he was already being notified, right?
Yes, so they are now.
It's the radiologist that the mandate is on. That.
Well, it's not a. We hope that it, I guess it is a mandate, but it's a mandate without any repercussions if they don't do it. But I think that most are either coming up to speed on this dense breast issue. It's becoming much more talked about by women and physicians across the country. So this is the same language that was passed in Texas last year.
Okay. Well, and I mean, it is frustrating, and I know you being in the medical profession of sorts, is you understand it is frustrating if they're already assessing the information that this is requiring, that lets you know whether to do this or not. And it's my understanding that they are, that there's actually a rating system, so that the doctors know exactly what number a woman's mammogram would indicate in terms of the dense tissue. And then why aren't they doing that now? Why aren't they already advising? I mean, if this is significant, why aren't they already advising them?
I think more and more breast centers are requiring their docs to do it. It's a matter of adding a paragraph to their already the report they're giving to the doctors now and informing them that breast density is a big issue in our current technology of being able to see a lesion. And oftentimes the self-exams are still extremely important because they may feel a lump or a lesion and a mammography is negative. And so then at that point, these things, instead of a stage one, which is very treatable and a much easier fix than a stage three or stage four. And so we're just hoping that we're hoping to get the information out to folks.
Well, and I understand the purpose of the bill. Right. My concern, I guess, Senator, and I'm not opposed to the bill. I'll vote for it. My concern is that we're rapidly moving to a society, a culture that doesn't do anything just because it's right. There has to be a law.
And I agree with you. That is a concern that we have, and I think in all levels of government. Maybe it's more important here because there's more. I mean, this can be a life and death issue.
Right. And how hard is it to add some information to their report that simply says this person falls into this category and needs to understand what additional risks they might encounter because of that category? And that's all you're asking, isn't it?
It is.
Or that's all you're demanding.
I mean, yes.
I guess, and I don't know who should have asked it for. I don't know if there's an association that should be doing that. I'm not sure, but I wish people would begin to realize that one of the reasons that the statute books keep growing and that the requirements that they have to keep giving to all of the people in their industry largely are driven because something like this is, to me, an ideal example. I mean, because there really is very little discussion about whether this is important information and whether this is information that a patient would be better off knowing or their doctor would be better off knowing. And yet we're passing a law to make them do it.
Right. You're making a very good point. It should be a given that this is done. And hopefully at some point we don't have to do this. And, and I'm sure there's a lot of guys and gals in the radiology field that's already doing this. But some are not. And this will just kind of get everyone on board.
Well, I have no problem with the bill. I do differ. I don't think that doing this will bring us to the point where we no longer have to do it. I think doing this extends the distance between here and the point where we no longer have to do this. But that's my only concern about the bill. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the adoption? Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
I urge the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I want to thank you for bringing this before the body. As we all know, 10 years ago, we all knew somebody with this disease. Now everybody in this room can say they know somebody that touched them personally with this disease.
Right.
That's how things go. You can call this a mandate. You can call it whatever you want. But all this is another tool in the arsenal to fight back. And we all know that early detection in this disease is the most important thing. And this is going to help a lot of women receive that diagnosis sooner than later. And I thank you for carrying this bill.
Thank you, and I agree with you. With my wife, it was one of those things. Had we been diagnosed earlier, maybe we wouldn't have had to have chemotherapy, which is a tough road. Maybe we wouldn't have had to have radiation therapy as well. But we didn't want to leave any stones unturned. And so if we can save just a few women from going through those additional procedures, to me, it's worth it. And, and I'm just carrying the bill for the ladies that was lobbying you and bringing this forward. They're very, very passionate about it. So they made my job pretty easy, really.
They are very passionate, and they did a really good job presenting it. I was on board before they came to the office, yes. So we got to talk about other things, which might include a couple of senators in the room here, but we enjoyed our time together. But I really thank you for bringing this forward. You know, I was widowed 8 years ago, and 8 weeks after I was widowed, I lost my best friend to this disease. And had she had a tool, had she been diagnosed sooner, her four daughters, who were already the daughters of a single parent because their husband died extremely young, they'd have had a parent. They're growing up with their kids and raising their children. They don't have a grandma, but had she had the resources that are available now, she might still be here today, and this is just another way for women to get this help.
Well said. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you rise?
I would like to inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I just wanted to let you know that I wholeheartedly support your bill and what you're trying to
do. Thank you.
I will tell you a really quick story so we can move on, because there's a lot of business that we have today. I have a next-door neighbor, and she had her first breast exam about 6 months before I had my first breast exam. But the difference between the two of us is that her doctor did not inform her of what may happen after they got the initial results of her breast exam. When I went for my first breast exam, I was told exactly what would happen, what can happen, and I was completely relaxed. But my neighbor, in her situation, because she was not informed of all of the different procedures, because it was her initial breast exam, she ended up like losing a lot of weight because she was nervous about what the results may be. And I think I told this to your wife as well, I'm just thankful for anything additional that allows women to know where, and by the way, men get breast cancer too. Anything that allows women to be better informed about the potential of them having breast cancer or anything else, I'm fully supportive of. I don't want my neighbor or any other woman to have to go through what she went through. And even though my experience was completely positive, every woman should have an opportunity to be fully examined and know what the potential is for her. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President.
I appreciate it.
Senator from the Fort, thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I'd just like to say that by providing women with a dense breast notification, we can identify women who are at higher risk for developing breast cancer and help to improve their chances for early detection and survival. Increased awareness means earlier detection, and that means more women will have a fighting chance against this terrible disease. And with that, Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 639, as amended by the Senate Committee substitute, be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator from Phelps, we're on the adoption motion for the substitute.
I close.
He closes. You've heard the motion from the Senator from Phelps for the adoption of Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill number 639. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee substitute has been adopted. Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 639, as amended by the Senate Committee substitute, be read a third time and finally passed.
The Senator from Phelps moves that Senate Bill number 639 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any dissenter desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Phelps renews his motion that Senate Bill number 639 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 639, an act relating to mammography reports containing information regarding breast density. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Leibla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
By your vote of 32 aye and 0 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Objection. The Senate will go to order of business. Reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I have committee reports from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. A list of the appointments has been distributed on the desks, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Send your report forward. Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on the reports in one motion.
Senator from Buchanan.
Object to the request for unanimous consent. And I would ask that the names of O. Victor Lenz, Jr. and John A. Martin be voted upon separately.
Hearing no objection, Senator from Buchanan has requested a separate vote, and that shall be noted. Senator from Nottoway.
Third.
Senator from the 23rd, you yield to an inquiry.
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
So for the knowledge of the body, I'm not sure that many have lived through this before. So we now have two individuals that have been pulled out from the full list.
Right, and the Senator from Buchanan gave me an indication of what he was going to do, so the report that I sent forward has all but those two in it. And then what will happen is the sponsoring senator will have to make a motion on those two individuals separately.
Okay.
So Senator from the 7th had one, is sponsored one. This would be after we deal with this existing motion. And the senator from the 15th has the other.
Okay, so you will make the motion to do the rest of the list. We will voice vote that up or down.
Correct.
And then the sponsoring senators will make those respective motions, and we will voice vote those up and down.
Right, and the senator from Buchanan may elaborate on why he has asked for those to be.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we all understood the process, that as these motions come, we voice vote them, and then we move to the next one. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 14th.
Correct.
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, and I respect your decision to make the separation. I'd like to know why you wanted to separate these two names from the full list.
I'll be glad to explain. I'm sure that I was going to have to explain later anyway, but let me just explain real quickly. These two nominations are to the State Board of Education. And under the law, 161.022, it says, the State Board of Education consists of 8 lay members appointed by the governor. And I think that was for a reason, that we need to have lay people who are not conflicted by a lifetime of experience in the education community. The two individuals that I have asked to pull, Lenz and Martin, are both former superintendents of schools.
What I recall, Mr. Lenz was a deputy superintendent. I'll ask the senator from the 15th, but I was in that committee hearing when you asked Mr. Lenz whether or not he was a lay member, and as I recall, his answer was yes, that he was a lay member.
Yeah, that's true. Your representation of my questioning is correct. He said that he felt that he was a lay member, but he doesn't get to decide whether he's a lay member or not. We get to decide. And so I reviewed their respective resumes. Mr. Lenz is currently a member and president of the St. Louis Curriculum Coordinators Association. He's also on the Show Me Curriculum Administrators Association. He's chairman of the St. Louis Character Education Development Team for 2 years. He's on the Missouri DESE Science Leadership Development Team. Now, he's a former superintendent. Let me see if I can find that.
I could be wrong because I'm not looking at it. And if my staff is listening on the intercom, I'd like to have the list of every single one of those appointments to come to my desk, because I did an extensive review of every single one of those appointments because of my care and concern of who goes to the State Board of Education. I had extended conversation, some lasting 3 hours long. And so I want to be very clear that we are, even though I respect the motion that you made, I want to also be very clear that I hope that we are not playing games today, because there is a crisis that is going on the State Board of Education right now. And when Democrats and Republicans can come together in agreement to realize that there is a crisis going on at the Department of State Board of Education, and this comes up, it just concerns me. Well, so I just wanted to know why. I respect it because you are a senator, and that is in your authority to make motions such as this. I just wanted you to know that I have committed a long, long time and a lot of effort into ensuring these people were not going to allow for the crisis that is occurring right now to continue.
Very, very simply, I believe in the rule of law, and the law says there'll be lay members, and I would like to have the members of this body have an opportunity to weigh in on whether these individuals meet the qualifications as outlined in the law. Are they lay members? And every member will have an opportunity to vote up or down on whether they're lay members. I'm not arguing that they're probably eminently qualified. They're good people. They're probably upstanding members of their community, probably just as good as you could get, except that they're not lay members, in my opinion. So we'll just have a vote. I mean, that's all I want.
I understand, Senator. Thank you. We will continue the conversation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd.
Okay, Mr. President, I think since the Senator from Buchanan objected, what I would now ask is unanimous consent that the committee reports that are at the dais be voted on in one motion, which the two others are separate from that report.
Hearing no objection, that's how they shall be voted on.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the committee reports be adopted, and the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointments.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 23rd. All those in favor of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion carries. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the committee report be adopted and that the Senate do give the advice and consent to the appointment of Victor Lenz.
The Senator from the 23rd needs to submit the report. Senator from the 15th.
I'm sorry. I gave it to the Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 23rd, do you have a report?
Okay. I would like to send the report forward.
Send your report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred the following appointment: O. Victor Lenz, Jr., Republican, 4628. As a member of the State Board of Education, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate do give its advice and consent to said appointment. Respectfully submitted, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 15th.
Now, Mr. President, I move that the committee report that was just read and be adopted and the Senate give its advice and consent to the appointment of O. Victor Lenz to the State Board of Education.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 15th. Does Mr. any President. Senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. By way of explanation, First of all, not everybody obviously in the Senate serves on the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee. I've served now on that committee for the entirety of my term, this being my sixth legislative session. And I can tell you, I'm pretty proud of the way that we are functioning in a really bipartisan way in that committee and asking a lot of questions, particularly for some of these boards that are really, really important, and some of the director positions, quite frankly, that have come up now in the governor's second term. Me, given all that's happened and all that's at stake with education, these three appointees, or these three spots, are as critical to the direction of where, how we educate kids, I think, that we've ever probably had in this state. We have challenges with unaccredited districts, and these kids are not getting a fair opportunity to receive a good education. We're going to be debating that. It'll be a defining issue this session. We've had some critical issues about how billions of dollars are spent. And one of the reasons why you won't see Michael Ponder on the list to be appointed to the University of Missouri Board of Curators are some of his decisions or his inability to ask tough questions on that State Board of Education that has cost districts all across this state literally $250 million. The redistribution of that formula in violation of law, which has gotten very little notice in the press, by and large, cost special school district in St. Louis County $6 million. St. Louis Public is losing $11 million every year because unelected bureaucrats have decided how they want to spend the money. The largest appropriation we have in the state, $3 billion for K-12. We have a law that says how it's distributed. They have decided that they know best and where this money goes. And it has cost the people that I represent millions of dollars. Michael Ponder was on that board, is a lawyer, did not see fit to ask any questions. That board didn't even take the time to vote on that. So I think the dynamic has changed with regard to the State Board of Education. People are going to be judged as the decisions that they made. And if you want a promotion, we're going to look at what you did while you were on the State Board that has affected kids throughout the state. I say that because it leads those challenges, and other people have different issues with DESE and the State Board that we could probably be here all weekend talking about, but those are some of my issues. And so when these three spots come up this year, they're going to make decisions that affect kids for generations to come. So when I met Victor Lenz, I didn't know if I was going to sponsor Victor Lenz. We met at a Caldy's in Kirkwood a few weeks ago. I had seen him at some Rotary functions. He's very involved in the community. Not in addition to his roles in the Lindbergh School District, has served on the Lindbergh Board of Education, was president of the State School Board Association. He has a breadth of knowledge and experience that may be unmatched in this state. And I asked him a lot of really tough questions that were relevant to my concerns about the State Board following the law, challenging decisions, being leaders. We give a lot of authority to that board. I was impressed. I was impressed with the man. I received phone calls from a wide variety of people in support of him, and so I felt compelled to move him forward. And I think, as though in the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee hearings in the last couple weeks, particularly for these three spots, it was the most engaged I've seen that committee in my tenure. And it was great. And so we voted on Victor Lenz separately in committee. And listen, I also want to make it clear, I respect the decision by an individual senator, the senator from Buchanan. And if he wants a separate vote on it, that's fine. We all have that right. And that's important for us to maintain the individual senator's prerogative on that. But I support Victor Lenz. I trust his judgment. I don't know exactly what he's going to do in every situation. I asked them the question, you have been a school administrator. They have certain ideas about certain things. Are you, you know, in this box? And he said he wasn't. And I think his record demonstrates an independence of thought that we sorely need on that board right now. And so, which is why I'm moving forward his nomination for consideration of this body. So with that, Mr. President, I'd be willing to answer your questions or if anybody else wants to talk about it.
Senator from the 14th was first on her feet.
Yes, Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator. I would like to start with the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. And I'm really, first of all, thank you for this inquiry. You stated earlier that he was the superintendent of Lindbergh. That is actually not correct. He was the assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction. And anyone who has ever served on a school board, such as I, currently know that in the position of serving as the leader of curriculum and instruction, your focus is on how certain curricula are put into place for students.
May I respond
to
that?
I just want you to know
that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm looking at, and I'm
trying I'm looking at the curriculum, or not the curriculum, but the resume that was provided to us in committee, and he said that he was retired, and under certification, it says he was a social studies teacher, guidance counselor, psychodiagnostics, elementary principal, secondary principal, and also superintendent under his certification. So I mean, it doesn't actually say anywhere in here what he actually did, but it just says that he was certified as a superintendent. So if I misstated anything, I sincerely apologize.
I am looking at and I cannot tell you where this comes from because it's cut off, but I am looking at a June 14th, 2013 article from somewhere, and again, it's cut off, but it says that he was the assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction, and that is not the same role and responsibilities as a superintendent. When you deal with curriculum and instruction, you're completely focusing on just those two things. It's kind of like this when the governor leaves the state and the lieutenant governor fits into that spot as the governor is out of the state. If our superintendent or your superintendent is gone at a meeting somewhere else, one of the assistants, which there could be one, two, or three assistants, but they're focused in a certain category, will fill in that position, but it is not a normal position to be in. And those are two, what you do as an assistant in curriculum and instruction is completely different than what you do as the superintendent of a school district.
So would you say
wanted to make that clarification because I serve on a school board.
May I ask?
And I know what our curriculum and instruction person does is completely different than what our superintendent does.
So then are you then of the opinion that if a person was a superintendent that they would not be a lay member, but if they weren't a superintendent, then they would be a lay member?
They could be a lay member because of what they did. I mean, again, what a superintendent does, our superintendent is Joylynn Pruitt, versus what Bernadette White, who is the assistant, and she does, you know, I think she does curriculum.
Tell me what,
two different things.
Tell me what life experiences would... if you had those life experiences, would preclude you from being a lay member?
Yeah, that's a hard question. You know, the answer that I would give you in this moment is that what I saw in that committee, and he knew, I think every single one of the candidates knew that they were going to face a lot of questions.
They had
to answer those questions in a very honest way. And I was in that committee hearing, not for all of them, but for maybe a couple of them. And all the senators who have been, who are sponsoring these people, they knew. They knew that I was going to ask questions and some hard questions of these folks.
But the
only point that I wanted to make is clarity on what a superintendent does versus what an assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction does. Those are two different jobs.
Thank you.
And he said he was a lay member. I think he's a lay member right now, and I think we should move on. Thank you so much for the inquiry, Mr. President.
14th.
I would like to inquire of the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, you yield to an inquiry.
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
And thank you very much for your eloquent conversation that you had about Mr. Lenz. Let me just tell you, after you had your meeting with Mr. Lenz, I had a meeting with him.
No, he said he was on his way to see you.
Yes, and let me tell you, I started off...
I was easy, if you think...
Yeah. But I started off the conversation saying, I plan to kill your appointment. That's how I started off the conversation with Mr. Lentz, that I plan to...
Well, I have to be honest. I said earlier I didn't know... I don't know what the right term is. I don't... Skeptical is not the right word, but I take these three appointments really seriously, given all that's happened. And I don't know if I went in... But anyway, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I... Anyway, it's probably the most comprehensive Q&A... interview, whatever. I mean, whenever somebody, as you know, we have to agree to sponsor somebody before they move forward. And I always, no matter what board it is, I have a conversation with the person. Sometimes it's by telephone, sometimes it's... But this was face-to-face, hour and a half, 2 hours, kind of a meeting. So, anyway.
And I just have to say, in our conversation, I was impressed, and I'm seldomly impressed. Seldomly. And I asked him the entire scope of questions. I never asked him the one question that everybody else thinks that I asked, which, you know, are you willing to get rid of Chris Nicastro? I didn't do that. Not with one of the appointments, because I thought that that would go beyond my authority and be disrespectful sure. to you and the other sponsors. But I did ask them other questions to measure the amount of integrity and intelligence each of them had on the issue of education. And there were examples that Mr. Lenz was able to give that I never even considered. And so I started off the conversation saying, I plan to kill your appointment. And I said at the end of the conversation, you have impressed me more than any other. So I am supporting this appointment. He's a Republican. I'm a Democrat. And let me tell you, you know, it's safe for me to, you know, just say no to Republicans because of the district that I come from. But I do know when there is someone, especially someone who says that they are a lay member and someone who does have the ability to be, not only to be intelligent on issues, but to think independently of others. As a school board member, Senator, I will tell you that we have one employee. That one employee is the superintendent. We have one employee, and if that person is not carrying out the vision of what the state or what our school board wants, we are not going to continue in that contract. We cannot make a determination as a school board to, for example, an assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction. We do not have the ability to fire that person because they are not our employee. It is the superintendent that has that position. And that's why I wanted to bring clarity to the point that our beloved senator mentioned earlier. And I just wanted to give that clarification. But typically, you know, you know that I care about education. It's number one, the number one thing on my mind right now, and I was impressed.
I've never seen a more rigorous...
I got a file. I have an entire file of every single one. I wanted to know their blood type. I wanted to know how many children they
really?
Had, where they went to school. Absolutely ask my staff. If you think I'm kidding, ask my staff.
I'm really concerned now about what you know about me.
Well, you know the conversation we had earlier.
but listen, I also, the Center from Buchanan, we all of us have different skills and talents, and it all plays out on this floor here, which I think is neat. But, you know, the Center from Buchanan is very watchful on that committee
of
who goes, you know, are there spots available, you know, is this an RRD spot, or qualifications, that kind of stuff. So it's a legitimate issue to bring up. I am satisfied, though, he's retired. He's retired. He continues to serve because he's committed to education. But I, you know, so we have a difference of opinion on this because I don't want him penalized because he has such a wealth of experience. Now, if he were currently the superintendent for Lindbergh School District, absolutely valid point. He was a teacher. He worked his way into administrative roles in Lindbergh. Then is kind of on the other side of the table as a school board member. Was elected by his peers to lead the statewide organization on that. He has his own opinions on what we do with urban and suburban education. This idea that one size fits all is a vestige of a bygone era. And he, in his discussions with me, seems very committed to figuring out unique solutions for different challenges in different parts of the state. And I needed to hear that.
And that's what we need. And having a diversity of thought is ultimately the most important factor here, regardless of what party they come from. Just having that ability to think independently and to have a diverse thought process, that is what I was looking for. That is what I got in our over 2 hour long conversation. So I just want to have that.
Thank you for asking the questions.
No, it's okay, but you know, I talked to the senator, I think, from the 7th about his, and he was a little bit nervous too, but I was impressed with his appointment as well. But thank you so much for the inquiry.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President.